Good morning. This is Wilf's Wake Up Call from WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on your dial or streamed over the internet. This morning, I'm Dick Paddock. Actually, I'm always Dick Paddock, but this morning I am hosting because we have problems with our regular hosts being unavailable, and so I'm happy to be here. One of the things that we are noticing is that there's always a new crisis in the world, whether it's oil spills or a war over here or a terror threat over there. But one of the things that has happened recently but has not gone away except from the news is the earthquake in Haiti. And that was, of course, not the first problem to land on Haiti, but it was the most recent large one. Last night, the Southern Anti-Racist Network presented a teach-in on Haiti and its current situation over at the Stanford L. Warren Library in Durham. And we're very fortunate to have one of the main presenters from that teach-in here today to tell us about the situation in Haiti, where it's going, where it's not going, and maybe a little bit about how it got there. The man's name is Paul Pumphrey, and I'll let him introduce himself further.
Good morning. First, I want to thank the people who are responsible for inviting me down here. Last night, the program that was sponsored by the Southern Anti-Racist called Network, I want to thank them for inviting me. And secondly, I'd like to thank some of the participants who participated. And last night, Bruce Bridges of the No Books Bookstore, and also our friends from Black Workers for Justice. The situation in Haiti, I want to explain a little bit about myself. My name is Paul Pumphrey, and I work with a group called Brothers and Sisters International. And we have worked in Haiti since 1998. Now, many people define Haiti itself is a country that is poor. And I, for my extensive travel back and forth to Haiti, I've been there over 20 times. I found that Haiti is not poor, but Haiti is robbed. And I'll go a little bit more into detail about why I say that Haiti is not poor, but Haiti is robbed. And to explain a little bit more about why there's a difference and why it's so important to make that distinction. Because the solution to the problem of someone who's poor is different than the solution to someone who's being robbed, or a country that is poor and a country that's being robbed. And that's why I really like to really go a little bit more later on in the show to talk a little bit about what is going on in Haiti and ways in which we here in the U.S., who are concerned about justice, can work with the people of Haiti to help stop the robbing.
I recall some of my history about Haiti and the fact that they were a colony that was basically run by the French, and in about 1804, they managed to finally throw the French out, which had some interesting consequences for the United States. Can you go into that history a little bit more?
Yes. The French found that the wealth they were able to obtain from Haiti itself actually was over twice as much wealth as all of its other colonies combined at the time. So France was really committed to keep control over Haiti because it was making so much wealth off of Haiti. And as the people of Haiti were determined that they were going to be emancipated from the control that France had over them. And so this war went on for a number of years, and in the process of that war, France went greatly into debt, financing its armies led by none other than Napoleon. What often is not discussed about in our history books is that when France was feeling that it was still losing the war and it became so desperate that it pulled all of its troops out of the Louisiana Territory. This is in the early part of 1803. And brought those troops down to Haiti to add on reinforcements to the troops who were losing in Haiti. And being that France had gone into such huge debt, they then turned around and actually offered the territory of Louisiana Territory. And this is land that didn't just stop in Louisiana. It went from Louisiana, the Gulf of Mexico, all the way up to the Canadian border. They offered that land to the United States for a mere $15 million. Had it not been that France was forced to bring its troops out of the Louisiana Territory to try to reinforce its troops in Haiti, when we go across the Mississippi today, we'll probably be speaking French and be in a foreign territory rather than being able to continue to speak English and being a part of the United States. So this one act caused by the battles that was going on in Haiti by France against the Haitian people allowed the United States to double the size of its country. But yet, when we go to our history classes in school, we're told about the Louisiana Territory, that the United States were able to acquire the Louisiana Territory is because Thomas Jefferson was an excellent negotiator. Not that the Haitian Revolution forced France to give up the Louisiana Territory. So that's just a piece of history that shows the somewhat of a connection that goes way back even in our history. And showing the relationship between the United States and Haiti.
I recall hearing that, to go back to what you mentioned about Haiti being robbed, that at one point in the not too distant past, Haiti was actually a net exporter of rice.
Yes. Inanna was a major exporter of rice, coffee, sugar, and a number of other agricultural products. What a lot of people don't know in today's history is that as recently as World War I, in 1915, the United States sent its Marines into Haiti. And in sending their Marines into Haiti, they occupied Haiti from 1915 to 1934. There were 19 years that the U.S. military occupied Haiti and took complete control over its government, as well as the revenue of its government and the revenue of the country itself. And they established what was now known as the Haitian National Army, which has developed a very strong history of violation of human rights, and the same army that actually overthrew its government in 1991. So it's quite clear that many of the relationships the United States has had with Haiti has not been a very positive relationship, yet often the media tries to spin it in a way of making it look like the United States is really helping Haiti. And so one of the reasons for the existence of our organization around our campaign, we have a campaign called Rebuild Haiti Today, is to help the people here in the United States really become aware of what is going on in Haiti, what the role the U.S. government, U.S. corporations are playing in Haiti, how it's either helping or not helping the people of Haiti, and maybe how it's either improving or not improving, in fact, making situations even worse for the people of Haiti.
I'd like to ask about that in the context of the earthquake and the attempts to respond on behalf of the Haitians to the earthquake. I'd like to know, to understand a little bit more about what I've heard that somehow or other the support and relief that came in was really not directed to the people, but directed to establishing a footprint on the ground.
Well, first of all, I'll start off with the statement of President Obama. He gets on the airways and he says that the United States was committed to helping out Haiti, and that he was going to authorize $100 million to assist the people of Haiti with the earthquake. Well, let me describe specifically what happened to the $100 million. First of all, he assigned an aircraft carrier to go to Haiti. So that was taking up at least $2 million a week of that $100 million. Secondly, he assigned 20,000 U.S. Marines to go into Haiti. And that took up easily about another probably $5 million a week. Thirdly, he sent down the U.S. 82nd Airborne. And that was, I would say, probably roughly around $500,000 a week when dealing with their support and all. And then last but not least, he sent down the Ship of Hope, which is a hospital ship that was stationed in Baltimore, Maryland. And so that actually got to Haiti 9 days after the earthquake. Let me repeat that. 9 days after the earthquake. So when you begin to calibrate that $100 million, less than 35% of the U.S. tax dollars of that $100 million actually went to direct support for relief of the victims of that earthquake. And so it's not as dramatic as, in fact, it was appears to be over the media when they see over and over they show the speech of President Obama talking about sending $100 million. Now, one has to ask the question, what are Marines doing in an earthquake situation? They certainly weren't there to pull people out of the buildings. They certainly weren't there to give medical attention. They certainly weren't there to help rebuild some infrastructure so that people could have medical facilities, emergency water filtration systems, or electrical power plants and stuff along that line. That wasn't really what those Marines were there for. In fact, one of the first things that happened was that the United States pushed and asked for and was granted control over all of the Haitian ports as well as their airports, their seaports as well as their airports. So it seemed that the United States' first move was to control who could come in and help Haiti and who couldn't. The second thing is, we'll look at some of the NGOs. You have the Red Cross, which, again, you saw many times over the airways, Mrs. Obama, as well as President Obama, encouraging people to make contributions directly to the Red Cross, and that make their contributions in cash rather than particular items that may be useful for the recovery of the earthquake victims. When that happened, you find that the Red Cross, whatever amount of money they raised, it appeared that only a fraction of that actually came by way of service or by way of supplies for the Haitian people. In fact, when you begin to look at not just the Red Cross, but many of the other NGOs, and None of them were church organizations as well as other types of organizations. And I encourage people that if you collected money in your church, you should ask your church to please give an account of so how this money was used. You know, if it was supplies, how much money did they put into supplies and where did it go? And who was the ones that received those supplies? Because I think you would be surprised to find out that many of this stuff did not get to the people themselves on the ground that needed it. And so you had really the Haitian people being dependent upon other Haitian people helping them the most. In fact, you begin to see clippings of policemen carrying small children and other people assisting other people that were injured by that earthquake. That was the bulk of the help that Haiti received after the earthquake, and that was help directly given by Haitian people themselves to the Haitian community. Brothers and sisters, neighbors, co-workers helping each other was really how about 85% of the Haitian people were helped. Now, you had other countries and organizations. You had, for example, already on the ground, you had over 250 Cuban doctors that had been there helping Haiti before the earthquake, and another additional 150 Cuban doctors that came immediately after the earthquake. And they set up medical facilities, originally right in Port-au-Prince, but then after the U.S. Marines came there, they moved out of Port-au-Prince rather than possibly take a chance of having any kind of a conflict with the U.S. military. And they went out into the countryside and assisted people. So you ended up having a situation where people who wanted medical attention had to leave Port-au-Prince area where they were injured and go out into the countryside if they were going to get any kind of serious attention. So you had a city of Port-au-Prince that had about 3 million people living in there before the earthquake. And today, having probably less than 1 million people there today, literally in the hundreds of thousands are there now. And what happened to the rest, about 500,000 of them perished during the time of the earthquake. And then the rest of them literally left the area to go get medical attention or go find some type of decent shelter to survive on. And so you've lost over two-thirds of the population of Haiti is no longer in Port-au-Prince that were there before the earthquake. And a lot of this has to do with the way the assistance was given by the international community or lack of assistance given by the international community.
excuse me. This is Wilf's wake-up call. We're going to take a little station break now and direct you to our underwriter for the show, Internationalist Bookstore, at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. A unique community resource, independent bookstore, and media center and cultural center. We encourage you to trade at Internationalist Books, getting the things you can't find elsewhere. You'll find some of them on the shelf. They'll be willing to order anything else that you don't see or that they may recommend for you to order. You can check them out also at internationalistbooks.org. That's their website, internationalistbooks.org. This is Wilf's wake-up call presented by the Triangle Women's International League for Peace and Freedom chapter. And we can be found at triangle, WILPF, all one word, .org. And one of the things you'll find there is an archive of our radio broadcast that we have been in progress for over 2 years now. Some of them are, most of them are up to the minute. Some of them are more archive friendly, but we want you to be sure to go there and check them out. Also, if you're having any problems or your neighbors are having problems getting WCOM over the air, Know that we are also available streaming over the web, and you can find that by going to wcomfm.org. That's wcomfm.org. I want you to get out your pencils and paper now, because we have some links that we want to give you to websites and emails. Brothers and Sisters International and Rebuild Haiti Today, two of the NGOs that are really NGOs on the ground, where all your money basically goes directly to the Haitian people. Rebuild Haiti Today has the website www.rebuildhaititoday.org. That's www.rebuildhaititoday.org. They also have phone numbers 301-257-6157. That's 301-257-6157. Or 301-341-3547. That second number is 301-341-3547. And you can reach them also by email at rebuildhaititoday@gmail.com. That's rebuildhaititoday@gmail.com. I'd like to ask Paul to give us some more information about what are effective in the way of NGOs and what some of the challenges are with the fact that the hurricane season is approaching.
Yes, one of the things that is clear is that we still have literally 2.5 million people without good housing in Haiti. And one of the problems that Haiti has had over the years is that because of a policy that was forced upon Haiti back in the early 80s, two-thirds of the communities in the countryside was rearranged. In fact, over half of the population moved from the countryside into the cities. That's where Port-au-Prince went from a population of about 800,000 people to a population of about 3 million people. The situation is that there is a real need for us here in the community that believe in justice to look at ways of how we can form partnerships with many of the organizations on the ground. As I said earlier, the people who helped the Haitian people, victims of the earthquake, the most were other Haitian people that were already there in the country. And they were able to do it because they were very well organized already. We're often given the impression that Haiti is an organization, a country where the people are just laying around, helpless, can't do anything for themselves, etc. No, that is not the case. What is the case is that many of the people in Haiti have very little resources to work with. But if you take the opportunity to visit Haiti, you will see that the Haitian people clearly, through their organization, accomplished so much with such little resources to work with. And what we encourage people to do is that if they can just form solidarity partnerships with organizations, there's so much that can be done. I'll give an example. Our organization gave $600 to $300 to two different schools, so a total of $600. That $600 actually paid for a quarter, which is 3 months of tuition for 33 students. That's full tuition for 33 students, just $600. And so what is clear is that a little bit of assistance put in the right hands can do so much to make a change and difference in so many people's lives inside of Haiti. And so we encourage you that if you're interested, if your organization is interested, if your church is interested in doing something with Haiti, please get in touch with us. Over the spring break in March of this year, students from Howard University and University of Maryland organized themselves and said they wanted to go make a difference. And so our organization facilitated their ability to go down to Haiti and spend a week, their spring break week, working with the people of Haiti and helping them. And now they are organizing to go back this summer to build a school in Haiti. One of the things that many people don't recognize is that in many countries outside of the United States, when education by law may be mandatory, it is not free. Even the public schools, you have to pay to send your children to school. And this becomes almost impossible for many families, especially because the estimated unemployment right now in Haiti after the earthquake is close to 80%. And so where people without much income at all find it just difficult enough just to be able to get food to feed their families, and let alone be able to have money to pay for tuition for their families, then their children to go to school. And so there are many things that church groups, community groups, sorority groups, fraternity groups could do to help the people of Haiti in a very organized way. And we are willing and ready to assist any group that wants to work. If you just tell us what target part of the community you want to work with, you want to help young people go to school, we can help facilitate that with you. If you want to work with women, we can help facilitate you working with women, organized women's organizations on the ground in Haiti. If you are a group of farmers that want to work with the peasants, we can organize and have you connect you right with the peasant organizations in Haiti. If you want to work with a particular group of churches, we can organize and have you work with specific churches in Haiti. All we ask you to do is get in touch with us, and we can help facilitate your ability to make sure your money goes directly to the people who need the help the most. Because it is clear these major organizations that many large groups of politicians and other people have asked people to give money to, most of that money has not gotten to the people that need the help. So we're willing and ready to help you connect the ties directly with the people on the ground that need the help.
That's at Rebuild Haiti Today, right?
That's correct. You can go to our website, rebuildhaititoday.org, and that's www.rebuildhaititoday.org, or you can email us at rebuildhaititoday@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. Let's see. We're nearing the end of the show. I want to remind you that this is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We have been hearing today from Paul Pumphrey, who's with Brothers and Sisters International, and remind you again that if you want to help the people in Haiti most directly and most efficiently, you go to www.rebuildhaititoday.org. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, Wilp's Wake Up Call. And we wish you a good day and a better tomorrow.
And thank you very much.